Hello all, this is Michelle Masurgeon for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. My guest today is Ty Cobb, Director of Strategic Initiatives and Research for Human Rights Campaign, which advocates for the LGBTQ community. Welcome, Mr. Cobb.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So a few weeks ago, the Human Rights Campaign Foundation published a report regarding the impact of coronavirus on the LGBTQ community. And according to the report, there are nearly 14 million LGBTQ adults and 2 million LGBTQ youth in the United States. Let's talk about some of the key issues noted in the report. And one of them was it noted that the LGBTQ community works in highly affected industries. What are those and what is the impact of this pandemic on the LGBTQ community?
Thanks for that question. I think that as the pandemic gained more and more attention here in the U.S., we wanted to look much more deeply into the unique way LGBTQ folks are being affected by the pandemic. And in doing so, we looked at survey data that's out there to understand that the top five industries that LGBTQ people are employed in are in dining and restaurants. They are in hospitals, in K through 12 education. They're in higher academia, higher ed environments, as well as serving in retail. And what we saw in looking that we're in these areas, over 40% of the community actually is employed in these areas. And these are some of the most impacted areas when it comes to the pandemic. And in each of these areas, the community is overrepresented in comparison to our non-LGBTQ counterparts. And so just taking the restaurant and dining industry into account, I think we've all seen the decrease in folks going out because of the quarantines to restaurants. Restaurants really struggling to survive, as well as their wait staff and the servers and the cooks and everybody that makes our restaurants and dining scenes work. In addition, if you look into the education environment, teachers are having to quickly adapt to a virtual work environment or an environment where teaching is on hold for the near term. In trying to understand and cope with what does that mean as educators for fulfilling their mission. Or there's no doubt that those who are employed in hospitals are right now on the front line of serving the American people, or when you look at retail, there aren't many people going out in retail environments right now, and their jobs are also on the line. And so when you look across kind of where the community is in industries in the United States, we're heavily impacted by the epidemic.
From that report, were there anything in there that surprised you?
Well, I mean, I think that just recognizing how severely the community may be economically impacted, given the shifts in both restaurants and also in retail was surprising. Also knowing kind of how engaged the community is within hospitals and how much they're on the front lines was really surprising and important to recognize. And I think also as we looked through the data about how the pandemic affects LGBTQ people, we also saw we're also uniquely vulnerable because if you look at wealth, we are one in five LGBTQ folks live below the poverty line. If you look at having access to insurance, a large percentage of LGBTQ folks still do not have access to insurance. One in five have not gone to get a medical procedure in recent years because they could not afford it. 29% of LGBTQ people do not have access to paid leave for a medical issue that may come up and they need to continue to be paid. In addition, when you look at issues around asthma, smoking, diabetes, the community is overrepresented in the populations that might be most impacted by the pandemic.
So given that, so their income is being impacted, and let's say I'm a transgender person and I need to get my hormone medication, or I need my bandages, or I have a surgery scheduled, How is this impacting them now? I might not have insurance. I might have inadequate insurance. What's the impact?
Well, I mean, I think that the entire medical environment or our healthcare environment has been shifted. Hospitals and doctors are having to triage the most severe of cases that come before them. That means that some in the trans community are finding out that perhaps gender affirmation surgeries that were scheduled have been postponed. Some are concerned about putting themselves in the environment to go pick up hormones from a pharmacy, or are having a hard time getting in touch with their doctor right now because doctors are being overwhelmed with people reaching out to be tested for COVID or understanding what to do once they've tested positive. And so with the healthcare system so inundated with dealing with issues around the pandemic, trans folks do find themselves in a situation that has really evolved over the last several weeks in a different direction.
So what direction do you see that going? I mean, are there groups that are helping them pay for their medication? Or let's say if you need that hormone therapy, I know there's a lot of non-for-profit groups that do support these folks. I mean, what's the impact even on the non-for-profit groups, which I understand a lot of their services are having group support. And now you have the social isolation, you know, social distancing. What's happening to them?
Well, I think that's a great question. Direct service providers across the country that work in the nonprofit world are really having to rethink their model. Mm-hmm. And how do they do folks virtually in a safe environment? How do they get to people in the community who may be used to accessing their services by walking through a door when the door is now shut? Mm-hmm. And I can't say everybody's figured out how to do it. I think we're all learning day to day about better ways to serve the community in this new environment, but I think we all have a lot of learning still to do.
Have you heard of anything innovative in that area in trying, I mean, are they using Zoom or things like that?
Right. Well, I can see at HRC, we really are taking advantage of the opportunity to have town halls with our members that are virtual to talk about the pandemic and what it means about the community. With our most recent board meeting, we went to a virtual environment to make sure that everybody stayed safe, but make sure we also pass a budget to be able to support this work in the next fiscal year. Our fiscal starts this week. And so we're really having to adapt. We're also trying to put out as many resources as we can to direct folks who may be facing unemployment in this environment to get them to the public assistance they may need. And we all have to adapt in making sure we're getting out the information we need to get out to people in ways that they can consume it.
So one of the things noted in the report was the issue of homeless youth, LGBTQ homeless youth, and elderly LGBTQ. And I didn't realize there was such a large community, you know, those two groups. You want to kind of talk about them?
Absolutely. When you look at homeless youth across the U.S., somewhere up to 40% may identify as LGBTQ, which is an enormous population. And I think we've got to continue to make sure that as we're thinking through the pandemic, we're thinking about how our nation's homeless are being served during the epidemic. We also, when it comes to LGBTQ seniors, we have some unique situations where an LGBTQ senior is more likely to be living on their own without family support around them of any type. In a moment where we're being, where seniors are more likely to have the most severe consequences from the virus, we're asking people to stay inside, and that means we're asking LGBTQ seniors to stay inside in total isolation without a safety net around them and often a family or a supportive environment or someone within their home.
I'm going to have to wrap it up here. Are there any closing thoughts, and where can folks get additional information about the Human Rights Campaign and the work it does and some of the resources that you mentioned?
Absolutely. Well, I think as in all emergencies, the most vulnerable in any country are on the margins and are at most risk. And the LGBT community in this situation is one of those communities. And so as people are thinking through responses to the pandemic, to make sure you're thinking through what does this mean for LGBTQ youth who may be sent home from school to an unsupportive environment? What does this mean for the LGBTQ senior who may not have a social net around them to support them through isolation? And so making sure that as people are thinking about the response to the pandemic, that LGBTQ people are front of mind. And for folks who want to get more familiar with the resources that HRC is putting out, you can go to www.hrc.org. And we have a series of resources, whether you're a parent who has kids at home and want lesson plans. We put out lesson plans every Wednesday for our Welcoming Schools Wednesdays, or whether you are wanting to see the most recent research brief we put out about the impact of the pandemic on the community, you can find them there at www.hrc.org.
Thank you very much, Ty. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.